702. WhatsApp us now on 072-702-1702.
It's almost 23 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Midday Report with me, Lester Kivett, standing in for Mandy Wiener on your wireless on 702 in Gauteng. Now, we're breaking away from the usual format of our show this afternoon because we want to unpack a story which I have found fascinating and equally harrowing that has come into the media spotlight over the last few weeks. It's the story of the KwaZizabantu mission in Kranskop in KZN. It's the focus of a News 24 documentary called Exodus, Uncovering a Cult in KwaZulu-Natal. There have been allegations of widespread physical, psychological and sexual abuse, particularly committed against children. Allegations that have been denied by the mission. They've called it sensational, vicious and factually inaccurate. Now, the documentary has resulted in the boycott of products manufactured and sold by the mission to sustain its ministry and schooling and housing there in Kranskop. Products like Aquele water and other fresh produce that is sold to leading supermarkets. Now, the reason I was drawn to the story is because I have known about KwaZizabantu for some time. A good friend of mine, Sipho Hlongwane, is a writer, journalist, a columnist. You may know him by his popular Twitter handle, Comrade Sipho. He was raised there at the mission. And when your friends tell you they grew up in what they describe as a cult, you know, you often think it's fanciful. You think there's no cults in South Africa, especially one that would evade public and police scrutiny for such a long time. And I'm guilty of thinking that. Sipho Hlongwane is on the line with us now. And I remember, Sipho, when you told me about where you grew up, I thought, well, it's a church mission. It is quite strict. But I want to know that when the trailer of this documentary was first released a few weeks ago, I got the feeling that you wanted to say, "I told you so." And for that, I apologize. but is initial reactions like mine to your story over the last few years something that you've encountered when telling people about where you've grown up?
Yeah. Look, it's not just you. It's a friend of mine. People I've dated before are all coming back and saying, "Hang on a second, this is the story." I'm like, "Yes, this is what I was trying to tell you." You know, telling people I'm talking about a town-sized place and realizing, no, they have no idea, they can't picture it. And now I think the mere fact that people can see the scale of how big the place was makes all the stories we tell about it more believable to our friends and now to the wider public.
I know you've been trying to come to terms in to actually watch the complete documentary. You've been following news reports subsequent to that, of course, but it's an hour and 40 minutes long. We can't unpack everything in the time that we have, but have you managed to watch it beyond reading some of the reports? I know it stirs up a lot of memories and, of course, a lot of trauma for you.
Yeah, no, I haven't finished it yet, eh? I'm going to try that this week, but it's very difficult. It's not just retelling, but in a very real way, it's reliving. I'm not even close to the people who had it worse there, but we all have come away with our own childhood experiences, and whether or not you had it worse or you had it, you got off lighter off than other people, the shared experience of having had a traumatic childhood and having to deal with that till today, this is the same for everybody. All the people that I'm talking to and that have been talking to in the past week about everything that's come out. And even for me, like, seeing the trailer of the day before News 24 was going to release the thing. Like, that's the first time I even found out about this. Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult day. So you can imagine for other people how much worse it was for them. Mm-hmm.
Describe that feeling of anticipating the release of this documentary, the subsequent news reports, and what the fallout was going to be. What did you expect? What did you anticipate?
Well, I mean, it's having your absolute worst fears and your worst experiences and everything suddenly in front of the whole world. You know, it's not a pleasant experience in the slightest. I won't lie. And subsequently, I think even the reason why we're talking today, because as I said, I wasn't part of the original documentary, but watching people not believe us and not believe the people who are telling their stories has been, I'm very angry about that, I won't lie. But hey, I'm a journalist. I've seen this happen with other people's stories that I tell before. So I know that convincing the public isn't the big thing. It's part of the journey, and I hope that by speaking out now, those who have their doubts can take it from me. The stories are true, and take it from me that, and look, actually, let me put it this way, because the mission has now had ample time to put out their denials. I want anybody who has read the story or watched the documentary or listened to the podcast, just go and read the denial and just compare the two. Compare how detailed the stories of the victims are. Compare how passionately those people speak. Look at the fear that people still have, having left the mission, some of them decades ago. These people have palpable fear till today. And then look at the denial. Look how flimsy that denial is. Look how flippant that denial is. Look how, even when they confirm some of the abuse stories that we say, how they expect the whole world will just accept that that's how one is supposed to treat children. So that's been, I think, also one of the things that have genuinely really angered me over the past a week or so, is the realization that not only will these people never apologize to all these victims that I see around me, all my friends, there'll never be any apology. There'll never be any justice. I've now finally come to the place where I've realized there's no justice. There's no sorry here for these destroyed lives that I see. That's going to take me a while to work through that one. I won't lie.
It is 15 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're listening to a very special midday report. We are changing things around here, where we're talking to Sipho Hlongwane. He is a writer, journalist. We're talking about the KwaZiZibantu mission in Kranskop, KZN, and follows a documentary by News24. It's called Exodus, Uncovering a Cult in KZN. And a lot of the focus of this church and this documentary is about the stewardship of Elo Stegen. He's the founder of KwaZiZibantu, a man described as having at first benevolent intentions, but then delving into the depths of what can only be called sycophancy amongst some of the worshippers there, based on obviously based on a Christian doctrine there. Now, allegations that he condoned the inflicting of punishment, particularly against children. Have you ever met Elo Stegen, Sipho? Have you ever been in his presence? What do you remember?
He was the leader. And I was born there, grew up there, went to school, and I saw him many times. I spoke to him one-on-one many times. The last time was when I was leaving the place. The pressure that is put onto you not to leave. And are you talking about someone who's living on his own 2 feet? I had found a job out here, and I could basically live on my own 2 feet. And still, I went through an incredible amount of pressure not to leave and so on. And look, what's going to be said is obviously no one condoned abusing children, or no one condoned rape, or no one there's going to be that picture that's going to be given. And the one that genuinely also shocked me is the idea that any of this was voluntary, the idea that we chose this somehow, that's a complete joke. Of course we didn't choose this. I mean, the severe beatings, just having your parent or another adult, which happened more, and you know what, I can personally attest to that. It wouldn't be just your parents. Mm. Just anyone who considers them an adult could find yourself in a situation where you're being severely beaten by this person, you know? But also very strong psychological pressure and trauma that is put on you through the use of the word of God, for example. As I said, I gave you a very small window when I said the pressure that was applied to me when I was trying to leave. That's just like a slit through the doorway that you can see about what we're talking about here. When you hear... Yeah, so basically just to say, when people say this or that happened to me, yes. Mm. Yes, it did. I believe them. Some of it happened to me too.
Do you still have family at KwaZulu-Bantu?
Yes, my parents are still there. But my brothers and I have since left.
What has been their response to the documentary?
I think that it's been the same response. None of this is new, by the way, to anybody who lives there. Generally speaking, I don't want to isolate my parents necessarily. I just want to say that generally speaking, the attitude is one of denial. It is one of a minimization, so saying that it wasn't that bad and so on. It's not outright gaslighting. I mean, as I said, telling us that we chose this. I mean, what kind of a person can say, I am making a choice, when the choice on the one hand is obeying, and on the other hand, not only will you get beaten, but you may lose everything. You know, you may lose your job, your family, you may lose your mind. That happens to people who leave there. Like, the price of living is extreme. That's, and then you're telling me I'm making a free choice there. No, of course not.
So Sipa, I want to know, with your family still living there in Kranskop, how would you, speaking out, as many people have already done, not only in the documentary, but in subsequent news reports, but you're talking on national radio now. How would this interview affect them?
Look, I'm going to tell you what they always said to me and what they said to me when I tried to leave. They are all grown adults. Mm. Okay? And they are all making their own choices about how they want to live their lives. So I'm saying to all of these people now, I am saying to them that enough with the denials, enough with telling us nothing happened, enough with just, in the same way that they always say to us, we must account for our sins, that they say that we must walk in the light, that we must walk before God. I want all of these people to look at the trauma that they've caused, to look at all the stories that are coming out, people who are re-traumatized today, and I want them to account for this. Mm. I want them to live according to what they told us. I want them to live their own words and explain to me, how is it possible that they were right all along, and what I am seeing is evidence of devastation. Again, just look at the people who've left there.
Sipa, I want you to stay on the line with us. Unfortunately, we want to get through some breaks as much as possible so that we can have a full conversation. 10 minutes to 1 o'clock, you're listening to the Midday Report, a special interview with Sipa Hlongwane. He's lived in that KwaZulu-Bantu mission in Kranskop in KZN, of a really powerful documentary produced by News 24. Let's go to a quick break so afterwards we can continue this conversation with Sipa Hlongwane.
702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 7 minutes seven minutes to 1 o'clock. You are listening to the Midday Report with me, Lester Givett, for a special Midday Report interview. We're speaking to Sipho Hlongwane, one of the many former inhabitants, many former residents of the KwaZizabantu mission in Kranskop in KZN. It follows and what can only be described as an explosive documentary by News 24. It's called Exodus, Uncovering a Cult in KZN. There's been allegations of widespread physical, psychological, and also sexual abuse at that mission, and allegations that it is, for lack of a better word, a cult. Sipho Hlongwane confirms that that is what he felt like. This is what he experienced. And Sipho, thank you so much for holding on with us. What struck me watching this film, I was struck by the particular abuse and punishment meted out to children. Of course, adults were also victimized there, but by children. I just want to know, how do you as a child live through that fear, and how do you then gather the courage to say, I've had it with this place, I'm going to leave my family behind here and leave?
You have to get used to taking a hiding, basically. Like, you just have to develop that. It's the only way you can survive that place, because obviously you would say that, just do as they say, just as long as you fit yourself in, and you know, you can do all of that and try and disappear and try and never cause any problems, try and never. I said to some of my friends, like, I was an incredibly well-behaved child at the place. No, I never was expelled for anything. I barely got order marks at school. By the end of the time there, I was head prefect. I mean, I really tried. I really gave it my best shot to try and fit in and all. But it doesn't save you.
Was that because you feared and wanted to fit in, or is that because you believed in the doctrine and the practices of KwaZizabantu?
I mean, it's saying you believe the doctrine and the practices is beside the point. This is my entire childhood. Mm. There was nothing else to believe. Yeah. There was nothing else to know. This is a place that's completely separate from the rest of the world. Physically separate. We hardly socialized with anybody out here. I didn't know anything else. Like, for me to form a worldview that's separate from them and could even eventually decide, I want to live my own life, I don't agree with all of this. You know, you have to, you have to suffer for that. Mate, my independence, I have earned it.
Sipho, since the release of this documentary and these stories, it's come under greater, particularly political spotlight. There's also been political spotlight in the past. It was the target of, you know, security police in the 1980s because of the presence of prominent ANC figures there. There's in the documentary, it says that Jacob Zuma's mother was a regular guest and attendee of the church there. Do you see, or do you remember seeing any current political figures, politicians there at KwaZizabantu?
Yeah, I mean, there were people came all the time for different reasons. Some people wouldn't speak at church or whatever, but, we would see, like, the leader of the IFP, Chief Mangosuthu Buthelezi, was there quite a lot. Off the top of my head, you know, KZN premiers like Sibu Ntembele, Lionel Mtshali, they would come there. I remember Becky Tele and his hat very clearly in my mind there.
Even though Becky Tele a few weeks ago said that he had denied knowing about KwaZizabantu.
Unbelievable. So now they're all running. But the reason why this place had even the ability to carry on like this for such a long time, and this isn't the first time people have spoken about this. This isn't even the first time the government has been notified about this place. There have been supposedly investigations by the Human Rights Commission, supposedly investigations by social development. You know, all these stories about, like, things that were done to people who work there and weren't even, like, you know, I was born there, I was supposed to be part of the whole thing. So even people who work there, like, where was the protection coming from? Where was the fact that all these things went to nothing? And sometimes they would say it to our faces in church. They would say the politicians look after us. I don't know if I can speak to the whole special branch thing and what happened to ANC activists. I think that was starting before my time. Yeah. Like my first year was my first year in junior school was 1994, right? Mm. But the fact that this place has got deep political connections, I can absolutely attest that.
Sipo, they have, since the documentary has been released, there have been calls to boycott products and businesses that help sustain the mission already. Some retailers have pulled the sale of Aquele water, which is produced there at KwaZiZabantu. What are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on particularly some of the lives and the human rights of people are important and paramount. But what happens if boycotts of some of the products, the produce that is sold and manufactured there and helps sustain some of the schools, etc.? As benevolent as it sounds, you know, human rights come first. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, people must make up their own minds. Again, you're all grown adults listening to this, and I will say this. The story is about what goes on in KwaZiZabantu that you've seen on News 24 and that will still come out are true. That's number one. Don't comfort yourself that something like this couldn't possibly happen and everyone just looked away. It did, and they did all just look away, right? So if it doesn't sit right with you to support, to give money to a place like that, then make that choice, right? So I'm just saying to people, make up your own mind, read the stories, and then see what their response was, what their denial was. Mm. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, boycott that place, because I understand it touches on a lot more people. It touches on a lot more people than even have been accused of doing things. Mm. There are children there. There are people there who come every day who don't have anything, who are supported by that place with food, with somewhere to stay. So, but the thing that I definitely want to get across very, very clear is this thing of people saying we're lying. This thing of people saying we're making this all up. If this was true, people would have been arrested. Well, think a little bit deeper about this than that. I'm sorry, but it is all true.
Sipho Hlongwane, the writer, journalist, columnist, thank you for giving us your story on the Midday Report. And that is our show for this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.